If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And we have a great guest. You ask questions often about sleep. And through the email line, you can always ask questions, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Or call them in, 877-711-5211. So this week we have a wonderful guest, Robert Rosenberg, who's a physician medical director of the Sleep Disorder Center at Prescott Valley in Arizona, who answers questions frequently on programs as well as in press. He's been on the Oprah Magazine, Women's Health Prevention, Ladies Home Journal. And if you want to ask him questions after the show, you can do that at answersforsleep.com, answersforsleep.com. Dr. Rosenberg, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. How are you today?
I'm good. We have a series of questions that have already been sent in for you. And I'll start with what I think is one of the toughest ones I've seen. I'm a terrible snorer, and it's annoyed my wife for years. I've tried a lot of over-the-counter methods, but nothing seems to fix it. And my doctor ruled out sleep apnea. Should it be time to consider surgery? What should I know about surgery, or what should I know about other treatments?
It's a great question. As far as snoring, if you've ruled out sleep apnea, then you're not going to be a candidate for CPAP, which would be the most effective therapy, but that's reserved for people with sleep apnea. A couple of things you might want to consider, those who snore out there. Number one, weight loss, if you're overweight, can have a major impact on snoring. Number two, alcohol use at night can also cause loud snoring. And some of the medications used for sleep, some of the benzodiazepines, such as temazepam, Valium, those drugs cause relaxation of the muscles and can cause snoring. So if you've ruled all of those things out, and there are the treatments. There is something, an oral appliance, mandibular advancement devices, that are used for sleep apnea, but are very effective in snoring. I mean, surgery for snoring, there are some procedures. There's the laser uvulopalatopharyngoplasty, and there's the pillar procedure where they put these little pillars into your soft palate, and they can stop snoring. They also, in some cases, can help with mild sleep apnea. But that's usually what I refer my patients to. I mean, occasionally I'll refer them for surgery, but as a rule, we try to go with the oral appliance first, possibly the pillar procedure, and try to keep it as least non-invasive as possible.
Wonderful.
If you've got a stuffy nose, I'm sorry, one other thing. A lot of people don't realize it, but what causes some people to snore is if they have a septal deviation or turbinate bones that are very large. When they sleep at night, they can't breathe through their nose, they breathe through their mouth. And when that happens and the mouth drops open, that causes the tongue to go back, and that certainly increases snoring. So sometimes taking care of the nasal passages will take care of the snoring, and that's where the Breathe Right strips work for some people, and that's a pretty cheap cure.
That's great. So what was good for athletes may be good for your wife.
Right.
I'll add for that gentleman who asked,
Gotta keep him.
I should have said that was a guy from Henry from Chicago.
Okay.
This is actually, these are men, this is another man who asked this question, which is John. By the way, we're talking with Dr. Robert Rosenberg, who's a physician, sleep soundly every night, feel fantastic every day is the book. It's a wonderful book filled with questions and answers about everything you wanted to know about sleep. It's the subtitle is A Doctor's Guide to Solving Your Sleep Problems, and it really is, as you can see from that answer to the question, Dr. Rosenberg is really a pro at this. Is it true, John writes, that you shouldn't eat before bed? I sometimes have trouble sleeping if I feel hungry.
It's not true that you shouldn't eat before bed. What you want to avoid in terms of meals that would cause problems with sleep would be heavy meals, because that can cause bloating and the digestive enzymes in the intestinal tract to have to work at night when it really isn't supposed to be working. You want to avoid spicy foods at night because they raise the body temperature, and when you raise the core body temperature and you also get acid reflux with spicy foods, that will hinder your ability to fall asleep. And you want to avoid things like aged cheeses, Parmesan, and cured meats. because they contain tyramine, which releases norepinephrine. So having gone through those things, a light snack, 300 or 400 calories of some kind of a complex carbohydrate, like crackers with almond butter, which supplies tryptophan and supplies the glucose in a very slowly released method, as opposed to sugars at bedtime, will help you to fall asleep. So there's nothing wrong with eating before bedtime if you're hungry. Just avoid the spicy foods, the foods I talked about, and don't eat large meals. That'll only hinder your sleep.
That's great. And it's wonderful advice. Obviously, the important point, John, another important point that he did bring up is the spicy foods tend to increase your risk of acid reflux, which is another thing that can wake you up or give you problems in the morning. This is a interesting question because this is from a Joseph, and he writes, I travel a lot for work, so I'm always switching time zones. What are the tried and true ways to beat it, or even better, avoid jet lag? I don't do well with melatonin.
Well, I like melatonin, so I guess for him that's an out, but for the other listeners, it's excellent to start taking melatonin usually about a little bit before the hour that you would be falling asleep at your new destination if you're traveling east. The other thing is to try to, if you're going to travel more than three time zones, try to get to sleep an hour earlier every day for 3 days before you leave so that you basically get used to the new time zone. Also, try eating if you're on an airplane, try to eat at the same time you would be eating at your time zone. And those are the things you can take. And there's nothing wrong if you're really having a problem. Sometimes a short-acting sleep aid at the destination for 2 or 3 days can really make a difference. Normally, your clock will adjust depending upon the number of time zones. It takes about 1 day per time zone crossed after you cross three time zones. Less than three time zones, you really should not have much in the way of jet lag.
And when you say, is it more important going east to west or west to east?
It's harder to go east because you have to fall asleep at an earlier hour. We have a much harder time falling asleep earlier than we do staying up later. So when people travel to the west, they actually adapt sooner. Instead of a time zone a day, it may be almost 1.5 time zones a day. So they adapt much quicker when we travel west than when we travel east, which is why they always say the NFL teams that have to travel to the East Coast have a great disadvantage, and that studies have actually been done to show that.
Now, I guess it must be very tough for the sports teams. I mean, they're constantly traveling in basketball because they play night after night.
Right.
So that must be the toughest sport, and they play at different times of day. Sometimes on weekends they play at noon rather than in the evening.
That's why Steve Nash, the famous basketball player who used to play for my Phoenix Suns, I mean, he really made napping an art, 30 to 45 minute naps upon arrival or before a game, and it really worked for him because napping as little as 30 to 45 minutes can really improve your ability to perform. And the amount of sleep you get is very important. Stanford University did a study on their athletes.
Dr. Rosenberg, when we come back, we'll talk about the Stanford University study and another question, which is something from Joan in Boston. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We're talking with Dr. Robert Rosenberg, author of Sleep Soundly Every Night, Feel Fantastic Every Day, on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Thank you. Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling. But the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.